Oh, hi. 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 No, I know it's coronavirus. I don't. I've got a mask.
Okay.
I think we just stay distance because I'm more scared of you than you probably are me because I'm at home writing all the time. Oh. You guys are in contact with a lot of people. So I think we just keep Japanese style, we bow, and we're distant. So I can put this, if you want to put my mask on.
Whatever, if you want to
I'm all right. Thank you again. So I have my tape recorder going in my pocket, just like I was when I thought about when I had the fight. This is exactly what I was wearing.
Okay.
And I want to show you, if we have time, to prove what the tape demonstrates that shows Joey, a.k.a. Shen, goes by Shen, how he lies in 6 minutes and actually fabricates how the whole thing starts. So I just wanted to give you a sense of how when I'm walking like this, you'll hear that there's a very loud scratching sound always in the background. When I stop with you, as we go in here, and I chat for just 3 seconds, you'll see that it's absolutely silent. You'll hear the voice, but there's no scratching sound in the back, which shows that if when he says that I walk, that I come up to him when he's sitting and I hit him, he can't be correct because when you can hear the violence again, that's at the 6 minute mark. You can hear the violence begin back at the 2 minute mark. And there's complete silence for like 15 seconds before all of a sudden the yelling starts fighting. It proves that I could not have been walking in this city. In fact, it's that simple. Okay. So we've been just talking like this, right?
Yeah.
So when I replay it later, you'll hear the drastic difference. You know? But I'm going to shut it off completely because I want to save my battery because, let me just shut it off and save my battery. because it's even simpler in a way. Aggravated assault. Right? We've got to deal with the police. We have to deal with the tape and how you can interpret it. But I want to, in fact, rest my case on... Should I close the door or leave it open?
No, we can leave it open.
Okay. Figure one. There's a simple matter that's even more serious. It's perjury in court. Felony perjury. One of the ADAs told me 6 year statute of limitations, which takes it to February 2022.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to look at it after my first false arrest. Didn't they renege, change their mind? They wouldn't let me come back in and show the perjury.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see why I'm doubly grateful. Okay, and I will rest my case on this. If after 20 minutes, actually it took me, I've rehearsed it 4 times. I got it down from 26 to 21 and a half. So
okay.
If you can give me that extra minute and a half, because I want to show you detail, step by step, where there's no gap in it.
Okay.
And if you see that he's guilty of felony perjury, then... Well, you can take it from there. So, I'll start with something that actually has relevance to the aggravated assault. And it's what caused my wife to freak out and want the chain guard that they owe us. So back on, this is kind of the context in the background before the perjury. So back on March 4th, 2015, I called the 34th precinct to report a death threat by Joey. He said, if I start a tenants association, Lucky, his brother, and 2 others will come over and you will be gone. And we can get into your apartment at any time, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part is true because by law they have the keys to our apartment. So when I told my wife, she was freaked out. Of course. Right? So we started insisting on a chain guard that they as a landlord owe us by law. And it was just one of the means that we were protecting ourselves. They wouldn't do it. I had to take them to court. At the same time, I took them to court for the painting that they were refusing to give us. After 10 years, they had not painted the apartment. I hadn't asked for it, but now I asked for it, and they wouldn't do it. So I had to take them to court to get it, pay for it, go open up a court case. When you do that, you know what HPD is?
No.
Housing Preservation and Development. That's the division of code enforcement for the housing court, which is part of civil court.
Okay?
So the first thing you do is you get an inspection report. So on December 28, 2015, the inspector comes over and he lists these violations. The last one is just painting the hallway, right?
painting the bathroom, but after they cure the mold, the dangerous mold on the bathroom. So there's two rows here, it's only one room. It's the mold and then painting. Painting the kitchen, and here's the crucial one that will put me and my vet in jail. 161, you see the violation number, 161? That's the first room from the north was supposed to be painted. Okay? First room from north.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of tenants go in the hearings, in the initial stages before you ever get to trial. You can represent yourself, and a lot of them do it successfully. That's what I did. I didn't have a lawyer at that point. What I did not know is that you're not allowed to have photographs on your computer. They won't let you open the computer. So the photographs of my apartment showing what this is, I could never display. But we're going to, for the sake of time, because the court hearing lasted 17 minutes and 2 seconds, the official recording. I don't know if you know, but in housing court, they tape everything. You are allowed as a plaintiff or a defendant, and maybe even a neutral third party, to go get the official recording. You take it then to one of the state-sanctioned transcribers, and you pay for whatever portion you want. And that's what I did. I got the official recording, got an official transcription, and it'll show what was said throughout this court hearing. Okay? And but what I didn't know when I first went in, actually I didn't find that out until after the hearing. And a lot of people don't know this. I didn't even know until I asked the court lawyer. I said, can I get it? Is there like a stenographer or, what do they call it, shorthand? He said, no, you can go get the recording. I said, really? So it cost me $300, and I only selected the sections that I'll show you. I selected the sections of how his lies. 15 lies over 24 court pages in front of the judge. I don't think his lawyer ever told him that these things were being transcribed. No, nobody could be that stupid when they could be, with just photographs, you can be shown to be lying. That's the only way I can make sense of it. So just to save us time, because otherwise we'd be going through this, his word against mine, and the judge is going to explain it because they don't have the photograph. Because I didn't print it out. I didn't know. So here is my front door, looking at it from the south. So this is the northernmost point. Okay. So when you walk in from the front door, this is what you see. This is the dining room. What they call the first room from north. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Off to the left, you see, is the living room. You see the wall? There's the living room. And the kitchen is the one to the right, which you can see better on this one, right? Kitchen
mm-hmm.
to the right. So the living room is distinctly different, right, from the dining room. And the dining room is what you get when you enter. So I can show you the other photographs of my apartment, but this is the layout of my apartment. So you walk in from the northernmost point. There's only one door total. That's north. So this is the first room from north, which is what this has to be. And they end up agreeing at the end. Finally, when they're disproven, they finally just back off and sign the settlement. But for 24 pages, they are going to lie for reasons that you're going to see to try to evade punishment. They're going to claim that this living room is here, and the door enters into the living room. But now, I ended up drawing this for the judge toward the end of the transcript, because Joey draws it as my apartment as a cube with four rooms. You'll see on the transcript. It's unbelievable. Again, I just don't see how that his lawyer could have told him, look, this is being recorded. You know, be careful about how you lie. You'll see how just how incredibly blatant he met him, right? And he just lies up on, oh, we're having coronavirus today. Oh, yeah, it's a nice day, right? And he just lies so matter-of-fact, it's unbelievable. I get a little emotional on this. I'm not used to this kind of, court fight stuff. So anyway, we're cheating. We're looking at the room, right, before we even start, which they could not do on my computer. So we go in on January 8th, after this has been done, January 8th, 2016, and subject to all these penalties, they're very complex, we're not even going to go through them, they agree on the 25th and 26th, if they need the 26th, to come in and satisfy all the violations. Now, you'll note that the chain guard was not on it. That's on a separate piece of paper, and it's addressed in the court. No one ever questioned it. They will agree to it, whatever. The crux of it comes down to this, and how they try to evade punishment. Because what happens is after we sign this, we agreed, this is the 8th of January, they have on the 25th to start paying, we're getting prepared. I then have to have my elbow operated on. I have to go to the top surgeon, Barron, who does the U.S. Philharmonic, whatever, took me, I had to wait almost 2 months to get in there. It was scheduled for January 20th, so 5 days before the payment. And so I end up showing it to make sense of the tape. You listen to the tape, you know, you won't be able to see some of the things that when people are saying this, you know, you won't be able to see. That's why I'm pointing out certain things. So I show the judge, you know, my surgery on January 20th, 5 days before the paper, almost $12,000, right? And I was in a sitting room rehabbing at home, even though I worked out at home normally for IBM at that point during the day. I was off work, I was rehabbing, you know, for those 2 days. And Joey and his father, Hamdi, and his brother, Lucky, who, if you saw the second tape completely, I don't know if you looked at the whole thing, you will have seen who Lucky is, the guy. So they all come. Hamdi and Lucky are collided. I tell them twice, the living room and the master bedroom are not on the list. They're not to be painted. They were a little surprised. But the reason was, I knew even before the 28th, when we went to court, or the 8th, that I was going to be with my arm in a sling, serious elbow surgery. My wife and I could not move the massive furniture that's in the living room. Did I show you the picture from the other side? This is the living room looking toward the dining room. And you'll see this kind of Arabian arch that I referred to once, right? That you come into the dining room, then you enter the living room through this Arabian arch. Look at this massive furniture. With one arm, there's no way I could move it. And I tell these guys like 3 times on this tape, which I'm going to give you, it's a 7-minute tape, I tell them like 3 or 4 times, yeah, we'll do the living room and the master bedroom in the fall after I do it, right? No problem. Until Joey comes in and starts haranguing me. He comes in at about the 5-minute mark of the 7-minute tape. And he says, hey, how come you haven't moved the furniture in the living room? And this also is relevant to the assault case, because he sees that I just had an operation. Now, I'm 4 months from 70 years old. July 5th, I'll be 70. I don't know about you, because you look like you're 30, 32. You look like 35, you know. And you probably feel a difference about healing from the time you were, you know, 16, 17. You know, let me tell you, and go talk to your parents and others. At 68 years old, you heal a lot, or when did I have the operation? It was 60, when I was 66, I had this one. My other one I had done 2 years before, 2 lower back spine surgeries in the previous 10, 15 years, and then a meniscus operation in early 2017 when my knee top surgery was done. 5 operations. We'll get to that in a bit, because I think it kind of shows that I'm not picking fights with a 35-year-old who's bigger than I am. Amongst other considerations. But. So this actually has some relevance, I think, to the assault, because it shows him being aware that I just had a major operation on him. So after he harangues me, I tell him 3 times, and you can hear it on the tape, starting with the 5-minute mark, Joey, the living room is not being painted. Why are you telling me that I have to move the furniture? Go read the court settlement. Oh, I'm going to go tell the court. Fine, go tell the court. He leaves, his father and brother leave, the 5 painters stay. They paint everything correctly. When I say everything, I mean the stuff that's listed. And they painted one thing that the inspector forgot to mention. And you'll see it'll come up, it's the second small bedroom. It'll be mentioned in the tape if you listen to the tape. So just so you understand, that's this room. So behind the dining room is the small bedroom, then there's the bathroom. So they forgot to put this on the list, but they painted it. So everything from here on over was done correctly. They painted what they were supposed to have. They were not supposed to have done the living room or the master bedroom. And it's painted. And you're going to hear throughout the tape where Joey keeps lying, saying, "Oh, that living room has to be painted, and it exists right here." 14 times Joey has to tell the judge or the Lord in different forms. 5 or 6 just like that, and 7 or 8 in different ways. By drawing my apartment as a cube and saying, "Oh, that's the living room," and different ways of going. So they painted everything correctly, but they didn't put the chain guard on. So I wait the next day. They never come back. They never put the chain guard on, and my wife's giving me hell, as you can imagine. And HPD shortly contacts me and says, "Did they do the work?" I said, "Yeah, they did the painting, but they didn't do the chain guard." So HPD, I gathered, was going to punish them according to that very complicated set of rules. And they might even have a little leeway to get it done before they get actual financial punishment. Because shortly after, here comes the perjury. Joey goes in to his lawyer on the 12th of February, 2016. So again, the statute of limitations is 6 years, isn't it? And he forces me to go back to court. I lose a half day of work on March 3rd. And here's the perjury. The petitioner, me, Gregory Scott, denied access to my workers and me on January 26th. Well, they never showed up, and I had witnesses there, right? They never showed up at all. He does admit in the sentence before, while the petitioner did allow access on the first access date of January 25th, not all of the violations were corrected on that date, and my workers and I needed the second access date of January 25th. Well, this is not exactly correct, but we won't quibble. There was only one violation, singular, the chain guard, that was not corrected, not plural violations. They did everything. They did all the painting. So it was only the one violation, but we're not going to quibble about that. This I will damn well quibble about, because this is just outright lie, and it will be shown in his own words over the period of the hearing. Right. So to convict him, you don't need to subpoena anything. All you need is what I'm going to give you. The court transcripts, the recording, his own words, which basically contradict the truth in the photographs, and his affidavit. That's all you need. So I'm going to keep this out because the wording is crucial to what they say. It's kind of stunning how they first set it up. But before I get to the hearing, remember it was the 3rd of March. I show up on the 3rd. As I said, I take off a half day of work. I leave. They don't appear. They don't appear. I have to go down and I have to file this affidavit in support of an order to show cause to restore for compliance. And I put down under facts the following violations, conditions have not been corrected. Chain guard, number one. That's all I cared about. They overpainted the bathroom door so I couldn't close it, and I ended up just finally getting fed up and fixing it myself. I drilled out the plate so that the latch would catch. Okay, so fine. There's something about a third key, but just ignore that because that went on to the DHCR, and I ended up getting rent reduction, and still I'm under rent reduction. I told you about the number of court cases I won. I'm still under rent reduction. They haven't filed because they did not give me a third key for my wife and I had a legal roommate, and they deprived us of the key to change the outside building lock. So I had to go for an extended period of time suing them, housing court and DHCR, and finally got it. So you can ignore that. If you go through, this is the only thing you have to concentrate on. All the other stuff is irrelevant. So I file this. It's on March 3rd, right? The day is there. And they assign it for the 11th. They say, 1 week from today, you come into court. So 1 week today, we come in, and now the excitement begins. So as I said, I have the recording. I'll give it to you. It's 17 minutes. I paid for just excerpts of it. And to make it simple for you, I highlighted in orange factual statements or accounts that are just neutral. No problem there. In red, I highlighted Joey, a.k.a. Spen. It goes by, and here they call him Nijai. Okay, Mr. Nijai. Mm-hmm. Green is me. All the statements where I'm claiming that's the dining room, not the living room. You'll see all of that. I keep explaining. And Moretti is the attorney, but he's not my attorney. He's the attorney for HPD. I don't think criminal court has it, but in housing court, there is an HPD attorney who assists the judge in doing various things. Actually, they have a couple. They have a couple there assisting the judge, and they have the police officers and whatever. You made a remark to me about, you know, taxpayers' money is better spent. When somebody files a false affidavit and spends 17 minutes of the court time with all these people, and it turns out it's just a blatant lie, and they end up agreeing at the end, I wonder how much that costs and how much the taxpayer. So apart from that little thing called justice, you know, and the dignity of the court and how he's just ignored all of this stuff, you just maybe keep that in the back of your mind after you hear it. So again, Moretti is the court attorney. So we start off jumping ahead to a 4-minute mark. The first 4 minutes to formality, right? And because the transcriber doesn't do this and show when they jumped ahead, according to my instructions, because I don't want everything, I just want the relevant stuff. I have gone through and drawn dotted black line, and then I give the new timing so that, I mean, you'll want to listen at least once, I paid that, I hope, to the tape, but you'll see that all that intermediate stuff is just irrelevant. And although I do say once at the beginning, he threatened to kill me. It occurred to me after, oh, maybe I should have put that in just to buttress, so that you know that I wasn't just making this up when I saw you in November, that I felt in danger. There is a number of different recordings going back to 2016 where I say he has threatened to kill me. So, anyway, for what it's worth. So this is that 4-minute mark. Now, right away you see that the transcriber got the voice wrong. They listen to try to figure out who the voices are, and they'll put Mr. Scott. If you listen to it carefully, you'll see this is actually Moretti, the court lawyer, who said that. So if they ever make a mistake, there's one particular time where it's very important, because it's Joey who's denying that, who's actually claiming, oh, that room is the dining room, and they have Moretti saying it. But Moretti doesn't know my layout. But when you listen carefully to the tape, you'll see it's, and again, I crossed it off and I put in correctly. So the transcribers don't always get it right. So the first thing they do is, I'm not paying attention to time, so I don't want to abuse your time, so I don't know what time we started, 15 after. They start off saying, we agreed that's not yet done, a violation ending 178. That's not on this list. That's the chain guard. Everyone agrees that that's not done. Okay, so that's kind of out of the picture. But what they say is that they made the motion, this motion with the affidavit, is the 161, the violation 161. Right? That's this, that's the second, that's the first room from the north. That's what they're saying. They made the motion because I didn't allow them access, you'll see, to correct that. But they did correct that. So then the court asks, I start explaining. Again, it's in red because this is wrong. And that's why I circled it in red. This is wrong. That's why we made our motion, 161, as if they were still supposed to be resolving that violation. Uh-huh. But they weren't. They did it. It was done.
I thought you told them you couldn't move the furniture.
For the living room.
Right. Isn't that the first room in the north?
Oh, my God. So I should have gone slower then. Let's look at... And you can see how the judge and the others would get confused. I'll let you take your time. What's the first room from the north? That's north. You enter from the front door. That's the first room from the north. Cool.
Oh, so you couldn't... That furniture was moved.
Oh, this I can lift with one other person. I can. They only. You don't have to move it completely
right
out of the room. All when they say move, all you have to do is give them 3 feet on the wall.
Okay.
That's all you have to do.
Okay.
So you don't have to take it. I don't have to take the table out.
All right. Let
me.
Right. I don't
want to distract. Yeah. That's not. No. I don't. I'm just. No. It's important that you understand because otherwise you're not going to be convinced. So I'll keep these here because they'll come back into play later when Jerry gets to take diagram. So then I start explaining, and I just summarize, and if you read this, it'll just be a rehash of what I just told you, so I'm not going to go through it all again. We jump ahead to the 5-minute
And the judge wants to know, hey, wait a minute, before we go on, what happened on the third last week?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Joey's lawyer, oh, my office miscalendared it. Okay? Now, this is going to be crucial, but she doesn't want to leave the subject. So let me just finish off that subject, and then we'll come back. This is absolutely crucial and shocking. But she wants to come back to it. She doesn't want to get off this topic. So why don't you give the court, you want to give him some money? She's talked, this is the judge saying give him some money because he didn't come on last week. He wasted half day. And Goldstein, their lawyer, says, no, of course not. No, judge. Absolutely not. He's not letting our workers do the work. And which is completely false. I was there the whole time. They didn't even come back. And the judge said, now here's where she believed me because of the court certainty, the surgery on the elbow. And she said, but he said on the 25th and on the 26th he was in the apartment. And she then, they begin to question that, and then she cuts them off completely, and he said he had a medical condition. Do you want me to hold a hearing on that? Meaning, should we go under oath and have a separate hearing and bring the evidence all under oath? And then they back off completely. And they say, no. And they never questioned then after that whether I was home. Never. And in fact, I had been. Right? So they don't want to have the hearing, and this is how they try to put the blame on me. Because if they can show her, the judge, that I denied them access, then of course there's no reason they should be punished, right? They shouldn't be subject to that. Right? Make sense? So let's go back to that page where he had interposed, right? Because she wanted to talk about how we're going to solve the money issue for the 3rd of March, and he just interposed. Look what he says. So the denial of access element that we're talking about is that Mr. Scott was obligated to move stuff away from the walls to create space for the workers to work. And he did not do that. So in the living room, right? And Joey says, correct. That's the denial of access element. Now, where does that prove? Read what this says again. The petitioner denied access. Now, denied access always in this context means the landlord comes over, either the tenant was not home, or the tenant opened the door and shut it, the landlord out, didn't let him in. That's what denial of access always means.
Is there
an
for that?
It's fair. Fine. So let's. So if you talk to any of them, that's what it means. But let's take your point. Let's grant, for the sake of argument, that it means, quote, Scott was obligated to move away stuff from the walls to create space in the living room and he didn't do it. That's what, in effect, then, if we take your point of view, that's what they're claiming they
right.
signed
so
the affidavit.
You gave them access. So
they had access.
Any of witnesses or your witnesses?
Not, I had a maid and a graduate student.
A maid? There?
No, who was there for
she
the time.
She was there
that
day?
And also a graduate student who was renting a room, who's now back in France. But you're going to see that they're going to tacitly admit that they're wrong at the end. But let's grant you that they can, that this could be interpreted a different way. Let's give him his interpretation of it. Although I would say, really? That would be like me going to federal court, filing an affidavit under oath, fine. And I say on it, ADA Grinberg, in November of 2019, said she would only prosecute Joey if I gave her money, if I bribed her. She demanded a bribe.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't.
Yeah,
of course. But look at her reaction. I signed this as an affidavit and take it to federal court. And they call her in, and you can imagine that how she'd be reacting, and you would be reacting if you found out that.
Oh, that's
okay. Let me give you the analogy. Let me finish.
Okay.
So once we get in there, my lawyer and I say, oh, what we meant by that bribery element was that she demanded more evidence from the neighbors that Joey didn't come. Really?
You can just change the meaning of it, like right in the middle?
No.
I don't
follow that.
Oh, well, because we're changing.
I don't want to take you off
the right, okay. Anyway, so I'm going to grant you, what you say, that denial of access could mean I denied them access to the wall to paint.
Exactly.
But notice what they said. I was in the living room. They're saying that under oath, that he filed an affidavit under oath, that I was obligated to move the stuff in the living room so they could paint. I was not obligated.
Okay.
This. We only asked for these violations to be corrected.
Uh-huh.
I didn't play you the tape, but on the tape of January 25th.
Let me just ask you, did they paint the whole place?
The whole point. They were not supposed to.
Okay.
They were not supposed to, because for them to paint the whole place, I would necessarily have had to have moved the furniture 3 feet in from the wall. You saw how massive some of that furniture was? There's no way I could do it. They end up signing, in effect, agreeing to everything I said.
Okay. And what
penalty
did they
pay? This is the irony. I didn't know if I was supposed to ask for. I didn't care about the penalty. I just wanted the chain gun. If I was a lawyer who knew this stuff, maybe I would have said, judge, make them pay some penalty.
So was there no penalty?
They only had to. No, that's
so
the irony.
How does this surgery then affect the assault case? I don't see that.
Well, it doesn't directly. It's independent in a way.
Right.
There are some common elements, but this is just a rank perjury that took 17 minutes of the court's time.
Right.
And I want to show you how blatant they were about it. The only thing that they had to pay, because I didn't know what to ask for in terms of penalty. I'm not knowledgeable about all that very intricate system of penalties. But during the settlement, I was allowed to recover my costs for the morning of the 3rd when they didn't show up. But it meant I had to go to small claims court. This is another one that I won. And I won $301 because they didn't show up later in December of 2016. So that's what but I didn't even ask for them being, penalized. I didn't know what to ask for. Again, you would have to understand those very intricate rules, right? So this, there's a saying that the cover-up is sometimes worse than the crime. This is what's incredibly ironic. All he had to do was admit that he forgot to do the chain guard and say, we'll come and do it in a couple of days, fine. But instead, he lied, trying to make it seem as if I was obligated to move the furniture from the living room. And because I didn't do that, they were off the hook. The problem is, as you see, the living room is not on the list of violations. They did not have to do it. In fact, I did not want them to do it. So every time he says now that the living room is the first room from the north, he is supporting the perjury here. It's a lie. The living room is not the first room from the north. It's the dining room. You saw the picture. Now, again, they didn't have the pictures there. So, page after page after page, we're going through the description of the department. Joey says one thing, counterfactually, that it's a lie. I'm saying the truth, although Joey does say the truth one time. He says, we finished everything in the apartment aside from his bedroom and the living room. That's perfectly correct.
Mm-hmm.
They did what they were supposed to do. But now he's going to claim that I was supposed to have moved the stuff away from the living room, and I didn't, so I denied the answer. But that's completely false. And the pictures show that as we go through the description time after time, and then at the end they finally tacitly admit it. It's all admitted with their signature at the end. If they lied, he lies repeatedly a number of times. Now, I don't need to go through it because, except for one or two things to make sure that you understand if you go through this again. If you're going to listen to the tape and go through it, I want to make sure that you...
Well, Dr. Scott, I can tell you right now that this is not... We would not write this up as a perjury.
Really? Why?
Yeah. For any number of reasons.
Would you mind?
Chief among them is that you seem to have a great deal of animus towards Mr. Schmidt. Is that fair to say?
Somebody who's had me falsely arrested twice, who
put me in the hospital with severe damage, who threatened my life, stalked my life. Oh, yeah.
Right. So, and you would be the witness to the perjury, right?
Yeah.
So, there's the fact that you have a personal animus towards him makes you a difficult witness to believe in a court of law.
Are you finding me difficult to believe now?
I find all of this a little bit difficult to believe. And I think that, I thought we were going to talk about the assault case today.
Well,
I believe that you would do this with A.K. Martin.
Not good, not any good. No, no. So let me correct a couple of things. ADA Levinson was not the deputy bureau chief. I couldn't correct you because we were on the phone. He functioned as your role. He was the supervisor of ADA Marisa Carroll. Okay. So we never discussed the perjury. I mentioned it because they agreed to arrest Joey and the super at the time, Laser, for having me falsely arrested for allegedly breaking a window in the stairs.
Were they arrested?
The ADAs, once they finally agreed to meet me, and they resisted for 8 months. They wouldn't let me come in until finally I got a hold of Deputy Bureau Chief Kavita Bovell, and I explained to her, and then she had to meet me. And when I met them in December of 2016, they saw my evidence, a secret recording that I had going in my pocket, like I explained to her. Which I always do, because after that first death threat, any time I was around the building, I would have the tape recorder going in my pocket. When I got a block away, if nothing happened, I just erase it to save storage. When I come back, when I'm a block away, I turn it on again. And it saved me a few times, okay? One of the times was the false arrest. I had the super and I were talked, because I was the head of the Tenants Association that had just been created by me a month and a half before. And now they're retaliating, and I'm talking to him about it.
Just out of curiosity,
38 units, rent regulated, rent stabilized.
So everyone in the building is rent stabilized?
Yeah.
It didn't go co-op or anything?
No, okay. No. And this is why they're trying to get a number of us out. And they committed crimes against a number of other people, which I could bring to you. But you're asking me what happened. I show all my evidence. Another doctor on the same floor... At 11 o'clock in the morning, went down to move his car. He sees the hole in the window, and he knows I just started the Tenants Association. He lives two doors from me, and he writes me an email. I go down and look at it, and then there's no glass in the floor. There's a hole, but it's like, not my issue, but they'll take care of it, right? It's okay. At 6 o'clock, the super and Jolie claimed that I went and got my hammer at 6 o'clock at night and came and broke it in front of Laser. And you know what the police do when the super says that to the police, and the police can see the damage? They come to my apartment, they just arrest me. They pull me out of my apartment, turn me around, handcuff me, throw me in jail. You guys prosecuted me for 3 months, and we wanted to go to trial because of all the evidence I had. My lawyer and the quaint legalese that male attorneys sometimes said, we will nail their certain body part to the floor, because he saw all my evidence. ADA Carroll was smart enough, like you were, not to proceed. And I wish we'd gotten to trial because of the evidence I had. Right. So my call.
You met with ADA Carroll, ADA Levinson.
And they saw my evidence and they promised me, if the police don't arrest him, we will. Now, I don't know if they were going to arrest only Laser or Joey or both. Because Laser is the one who signed the complaint that I broke it in front of him. But Joey was the one always talking to the police and who was with Laser when they pulled me out of my apartment, and then both of those two guys were called out. They stepped out from around the corner and they said, both of them said, yeah, he's the guy. Right.
Hi,
friend.
I'm thinking
about
the Okay, thank you.
So they didn't arrest him for some bizarre reason. They reneged, and she never told me why. All she said was I couldn't convict beyond reasonable doubt. Even though when I was there, they said we can convict beyond reasonable doubt. The only thing that was different, they did talk to the guy who saw the hole broken, the window broken, Dr. Noyes. He confirmed. The only other thing they did was talk to the police. And the police somehow dissuaded them from pursuing. And I can give you a lot of information about that. And now, to answer your question, they, when we're talking, he tells me, I mentioned this perjury, and he said, oh, that's felony. And I said to him, oh my gosh, let's forget about this false arrest. Let's just view the perjury as it's felony. So he said, we can, these are his words, we can look at it after we finish the false arrest case.
And what happened?
When she gave me, when Marisa Carroll gave me the results of, in March 2018, she said, well, I can't convict beyond reasonable doubt. I said, okay, I'm shocked, you know what happened, but I'm not going to, what am I going to do? What can I do? But, and I asked her, well, what about the perjury? Jeffrey Levinson said that you guys have been tasked with doing more perjury. And that you would look at it after the false arrest. Mm-hmm. She said, no, I just can't take any case that's brought to me. She just shut me down. She wouldn't.
Did she suggest that you go to the police and file a report regarding the perjury?
No, they don't. They would send me to you.
Okay.
And the police, when I tried to get them for the false arrest before, you know what the police did? Said, no, we don't prosecute 240.50. I come to the DA, I called the DA, and they said, we do, on ad hoc, depending on the evidence. Go back to the police. I go back to the police with my wife and another couple who've been harassed. They look now at my evidence, they come back 10 minutes later. This is what they said. Go to the DA and get a letter from the DA that they will prosecute, and then bring the letter back to us, and then we'll investigate. Okay? I find out who Carol was, that she was the one in charge. I said, the police want me to get a letter from you, and I want you to show you the evidence. And her words exactly were, that's not how the system works. They know better than that. They're the gatekeeper. They do the investigation, and then if it's warranted, they forward it to us, and then we decide.
And that's correct.
Yeah, so if I had brought that tape that I gave you to the police, and they said, go to the DA, get a letter from the DA that they will prosecute, bring it to us, and then we will investigate. What would you think? Wouldn't red flags start going like, is there something fishy going after 34? There is something fishy going after 34. I was a whistleblower 10 years ago, and it's a whole other story. It's a whole other story. Okay.
We do have another meeting to get to.
So even though he lies 14 times and says that 161 is the living room, when you can see that it's the dining room, that it was done, you're going to say that he can file an affidavit under oath and then explain it in a way that's completely contradicted by the facts and the photograph, and even their settlement at the end. When they sign the settlement, because the judge ends up not believing them.
Well, there's any reason why a person can sign a settlement to end the litigation, to make it, bring an end to the whole thing.
Okay. Well, that's why I had hoped to get...
After Scott, here's about a month. I took this meeting because I thought we were going to talk about the assault and whether or not there was additional evidence to establish...
A lot. There's a lot.
...that Mr. Spent... Right, but we've just spent the last half hour talking about events that occurred 4 years ago instead of talking about what happened in your building the day that you were arrested. So, I don't know what else there is to say to change the calculus of the police on the day that you were arrested and the calculus of A.D. Grinberg on the day that Chelsea was arrested. I don't think there's...
So it wouldn't matter.
I don't know if there's any evidence to establish, besides your own words, that he was the initial aggressor.
I'd listen to
that recording in your pocket, which
so,
I don't think is helpful in establishing who was the initial aggressor.
So he lies at 6 minutes about how it was done. I can show that. Even my lawyer
this
didn't.
This is something you were able to do, correct?
Lies at what?
6 minutes when he says... He says to, when I'm knocked out on the ground, the woman comes down, they worked together for years, and he says, Greg hit me with his keys when I was sitting there.
You're talking about the recording.
Yeah, that's 6 minutes.
Can you review that, correct?
He
okay.
came
so
up to
so
me.
That's not new evidence. So is there new evidence?
There's like 9 pieces that I would have to leave out.
Okay.
I'll give you.
Well, when we talked about the little thing, we talked about...
Well, I thought that perjury somehow meant something.
It does mean something. You're talking to an ADA who's indicted for different perjury cases. So, but that's not why we're sitting down here today.
Well, I was hoping to show a case that I had tried to get to Levinson, and they said they would look at it, but then they just wouldn't even look at it.
Well, now I've looked at it, and I don't believe that we would ever indict this or bring charges of perjury against Mr. Fenn. So.
Wow. Okay, I mean, you're the expert on that. I mean, I'm only a PhD who teaches coherence theory, correspondence theory, pragmatic theory of truth, and I know what truth is because I've dealt with it. But you guys know the legal issues,
right,
which
I
don't.
I don't profess to be an expert in anything, but...
Well, you're an expert in law.
In my opinion, I believe that this is not a case that we would have.
They would just let him go. And if I showed you that once he didn't get punished, that he actually did the same thing again, he committed another perjury, he was a little smarter this time. He, the date when the settlement occurred, when we have to
what
go back...
What are the 9 pieces of evidence related to the assault?
Some of them are the different death threat, right? Which I take it have some relevance.
Okay.
May I ask if this doesn't do any damage to his credibility after you see him lying and lying and lying in front of it, and provably lying?
I mean, she's going to make the decision, so I'd rather not.
But you met him, right? You.
Unfortunately,
yes. Let me pull out the so I can just rattle them off. I could even, if need be, give you send you guys an email. Read it through. So I'm going to, because we're not going to have time to go through it, I'm just going to read off what they are and what I could send you as the evidence, and you could tell me whether it would make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard about the first death threat,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is recorded in the court hearing harassment after?
On the date of the assault?
No, no.
Okay.
The death threat. Does the death threat have to be the day of the assault?
Well, it would be helpful in establishing that he was the initial aggressor.
But what if he did the death threat a month before?
Okay, then that's something. We'll
yeah. So there's like okay. there are two different instances where it's recorded on court papers that he threatened to kill me from 2016. Then I went to Levinson, told him that's the third time. Then Joey, his brother, and remember the words were Lucky and two others will come over and you'll be gone. Early in 2017.
Well, you'll be out of the apartment. No, I'm just, I mean.
You could. Sorry,
so. I'm just saying that that's a possibility.
Well, that's why they do it, right?
Sure.
You'll be gone where?
In a tenant landlord's dispute.
Gone where? Right.
Gone into a different apartment building.
Two others will come over. What are they going to do? Force, like?
Yeah, forcefully evict you.
For what reason? If I start a tenants association, they're allowed to do that? Anyway, so, and then in February, Joey, Lucky, and look, I'm choosing my words very carefully. Either these guys are one of the Albanian clans, part of the Albanian mafia, that's how they work, or they have learned from them, because they're Albanian, they swear to it on their position. They swear that as an Albanian, or they have learned some of the techniques because they use threats, intimidation, violence.
They were Italian?
Yeah, if anyone uses threats, okay, so they learned from the Italian.
Maybe they were Irish or.
Yeah, they learned from the Irish or the Russian.
Okay.
But they use threats, intimidation, violence, and they lie like hell in their various court hearings. And I started to show you like some of you.
Okay, so we have the death.
So the death threats, and then they do it again, and it scares my wife so much when Lucky and two others come over unannounced Sunday morning, a false pretense, she moves to the West Coast. She won't stay there anymore.
Your wife has moved to the West Coast?
Oh, yeah. She was scared to death when they showed up. Because Lucky said, Joey.
His phone is ringing, Kimberly.
Joey says, Lucky and two others will come over and you will be gone. Guess what? Lucky and two others come over unannounced. early February 2017. The next day, my wife, who is a director at an ad agency here, tells her boss, I can't work anymore, I've got to go. So we sublet the apartment for 14 months. I was trying to save the marriage and going and do research and so forth. So I was gone for 14 months. And she will never come back. She's scared to death of these people. The first false address I mentioned already, and it's in court now. I can give you the index number. You can look to see what happened. The laser is the fault. I never showed up. He's banned. He's mentioned, by the way, in the court, in the tape, when Joey and I are like before the violence begins. Joey is calling me a bitch and goading me. And by the way, my brother is in California. My brother's policeman of 30 years. I have a sister who's an ADA like you, 35 years ago. I have a niece who's a policeman. A large part of my family is involved in law enforcement. And my brother, when he looked at that, he said, wow, in California, him calling you a bitch and goading you like that, that's kind of showing that he's the initiator, right? So there's the first false arrest, the two felony perjury. The second one, I bet you could win, but you would have to subpoena the cell phone records because they said they came at 9:20 in the morning. Well, they never showed up. But if you subpoena their cell phone records, I bet you they're out in Pelham Bay, Bronx, where they live. But they never showed up. That was the second perjury that they did. I had a deposition then from May of 2018 for the first case where the father promises to harass me under oath. He promises to harass me for me exposing that they were supposed to replace fog windows at their expense. This is why they're mad at me, because I started the Tenants Association. I started researching things and found out they've been lying to tenants for years. I don't even believe them. And now I go and say, I tell the tenants, and this is on the newsletter that I gave her, 4 days before they assaulted me, I passed out this newsletter, and it tells the other tenants that they're demanding payment for fog windows. DHCR will make them replace the fog windows at their expense. They were furious. So that's another piece of evidence that would justify why they were trying to...
Well, I guess the bottom line is he has animus towards you, and you have animus towards him.
Well, wait, and right? if somebody is... I used to teach ethics at university. Am I not allowed to have animus if I'm a good person?
No, of course you are. Everyone is entitled to that, but I'm saying that it is grounds for impeachment if you were to testify, just as if you were to testify. They would be able to bring up all the different reasons why you dislike him, all of the different issues in your past.
Oh, well, that would be wonderful, because I could show all of the other things that they have done and the other crimes they've committed. Oh, I could show you... you'll be stunned. And I have people who would come in and testify that Joey threatened them. Three people moved out because they were so scared. And one.
I don't mean to work. I'm just giving an update. There's no students in custody. Janine is not here, so I have to write a big piece in ECAD. And I need to discuss the charges because the investigator doesn't know what the charges are.
Are they on their way down?
They've already got her. She's in the house.
They're
not ECAD.
So a couple more and then done.
Yeah, because we've got a number of different things happening.
So on the same deposition where he promises to harass me after the case is done regarding the fog window, they confess that they hired their super from strip clubs, the people who had me assaulted. Just to show their character, right? I don't know if character means anything in court these days.
No, you can't introduce character.
Oh, really?
Except for a very limited.
Okay. It used to be that we could, right? So then after my wife got so scared that we sublet for 14 months, I ended up coming back to take care of the apartment, to take the apartment back, because I was not going to give up my rent restricted lease. And my wife and I have this long relationship. I gave her two tapes. Joey stalked me on the stairs. Did you look at it, though?
No.
What if I did this to you? You want to get out, and I stand here, and you say, Greg, I want to get out. And I say, oh, I'm walking into the room, and you can't get out because I'm walking in. And then you say, go. And I stand here, and I'm filming you, and you are filming me. And you keep saying, Greg, get out of the way. And I say, no, I'm walking in, but I'm not really walking in, I'm standing here. That's what he did to me. And the police thought they wrote a harassment report. That's 3 months before the assault. And it shows the same kind of thing happening as what happened, except I could get away. I got away, I called the police, they wrote them up for harassment, but they didn't do anything.
Okay.
That was 3 months before. She has that video. Then the newsletter I mentioned, and it has, now you understand more about the fog windows and, the, and their promise to harass me after. Then the, so I can prove that his statement where he said I walked up to him and hit him in the face with the keys is the noise. Do you want me to play it or will you just take my? Okay. And is it, does it show him lying?
I didn't look that far.
Oh. Now, I...
Where he was sitting?
Yeah, where he said 6 minutes. Now, you said that it doesn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt. I grant you that. That one statement all by itself does not prove beyond reasonable doubt that that he hit me first or whatever. But what does it show when he's lying? When it can provably show that he's lying about how the fight started.
How does it show that he's lying?
Because he says that I walked up to him, so I'm not I don't know. So when, if I were walking up to him to hit him, I'd be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would hear all of the violence at the 2 minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm walking, what do you hear in the background? Loud scratching. That's how the iPhone.
Scratching would happen if you were tussling on the ground, right?
Oh, this is why I wanted to go to the tapes. I never went to the tape. My lawyer said, good, great, give her a story, give her your background, and I followed him. And I never went to the tape.
What happened to Mr.
Roach? I'm a little mad at him because I paid him a lot of money. You know, the only thing I ever asked of him in 7 months of him was when Officer Dillon, when it was read off by your colleague in the first hearing, Officer Dillon said, Joey said happy Thanksgiving, and then Greg just hit him, and it went by so quickly, and I said, Dave, can you just get me that recording? I thought it was as easy as getting, you know, the housing court stuff, and he said, no, I have to go to get the stenographer. But I kept asking him, you know, in eight months, he never got me that. What was said that first hearing about happy Thanksgiving? Because if you listen to my case, nobody said happy Thanksgiving. Now I know you said you couldn't introduce it because of friends of police, but it just goes to show that somebody is lying. Either it was Officer Dillon fabricating.
Hey, I'm sorry. There's a few people waiting on you.
Got
this, now 20 minutes late.
Okay.
I have to go.
Can I send you the last 6 points by email?
Sure.
Okay.
Do you have the 88 member email?
No.
Yeah?
No. I have the phone number, so if you could, and then I'll just email it to you.
Okay.
And then we could chat about the other.
Okay.
Because what I was hoping to show, well, first of all, that you can't trust them after the perjury. But
I totally agree you can't trust
them.
But
if you're not going to if you're not going to prosecute him for the perjury, and actually need it for the second one too, I was going to ask you, do you think he's going to stop doing this with 18 other buildings? If nobody prosecutes him for perjury when he goes inside...
How's it been since the case has been dismissed? Any issue?
Well, he showed up right when I came out of the elevator, and there I am. And he didn't do anything, and I didn't do anything, but it was clear like he was intimidated. Look, I've wired up my house. I have Ring video cams. I've got all kinds of stuff now streaming 24 hours showing, so... but let me send you this stuff, and maybe if we, once I send it to you, if we could have a final 5 minutes, and you can tell me. Thank you. You're going to laugh at this, man. How many men do you know personally who knows how to braid hair and put it in a machine?
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about
the topic. Right. How many, have you ever been in a cake time? You too.
No.
How many women do you know who have ever been in a cake time?
I've had one.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, really? I'll explain the relevance in the form of this because of what the different attorneys have said and what they've discussed. Well, thank you. I mean, I'm extremely disappointed that you let that you think that it's not true, especially after showing you that in other statements what you just keep saying, there's no reason to believe you, doesn't believe you. And the photographs completely contradict what he's saying.
Right? Well, I'll do the points that you're going to email me, and then maybe Rember will be in touch with you about whether or not you would move forward on the
record. Okay. But I'm going to send her the stuff first, right? Before
yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day. Stay safe. As a 102-year-old man, I was goading and I called him names and I caused him to hit me. And can I just flatten him and knock him out? Or am I?
Okay. But thank you for coming in.
Okay.